The question I want to look at this morning is, why do we pray? I don't know what goes through your mind when you think of that, why you pray. But I want to look at the reasons why we pray. What is our motivation? I don't know if you're like me, you when you think of prayer, you think back maybe from when you were even a child about how you viewed prayer. I remember as a child, at bedtime, we had this prayer. I don't know if anybody else had it, but it was, "Now I lay me down to sleep." Now, there's different versions of that, but ours was, "I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." Anybody have that version? Yeah, some of you? Now, I don't know. I don't even remember what I was thinking when I prayed that prayer as a child, but looking back now, it seems a little morbid to me. Like, we're always talking about dying before we go to bed for some reason. So I don't know where that prayer came from. But that's one of the things that if I'm looking back thinking about prayer, that I think of as a child. Of course, I think of mealtime prayers as well, was a very common thing. And one thing I could never figure out as a child was, why do we bless the food? I was like, the food is okay. It doesn't need blessing. It's fine by itself. Why does it need to be blessed? I never could figure that out, why we bless the food. So I don't know what comes to mind when you think of prayer and why you pray, but I want to look at that question. About 10 or 12 years ago, I remember reading a book called Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire. How many have read that book? Several of you. It's about Brooklyn Tabernacle, the church in New York. And I remember being very fired up about prayer after reading that book. At that time, I was not a pastor. And I remember, I don't know, telling somebody that if I were to ever lead a church, that prayer would be, that prayer meeting would be the central part of a pillar of what we did in church. And I don't know, as looking back, I don't know that I've really followed through on that since I've become a pastor. And I thought about that this week, about that commitment that I'd made back then. About 5 years ago, I remember a significant struggle with this idea of prayer and really believing that prayer made a difference. Anybody ever struggle with that question? Does prayer really make a difference? And I was really struggling with that. It came at a time I was preparing a message on prayer. And I don't think I really even understood where I was at as far as my belief at that point. But as I studied and prepared for that, it became evident to me that I wasn't sure I ever really believed in prayer at that time. I was really struggling with this idea. Does it make a difference? It was an agonizing faith struggle for me. But God broke through that, through my unbelief, and he met me in a powerful way during that time of preparation. But most of my life, prayer has been a challenge to do faithfully. And in talking with other believers, some of you, I think my case is an unusual. It's a challenge, I think, for most of us to have a consistent time of prayer. The past month, I've seen God work in many areas that I've been praying about, and it's been very encouraging to me to see that. It hasn't always felt that way, but I have been a lot more consistent in my prayer time, taking specific areas that I really am looking for guidance and crying out to the Lord for them and seeing him give me answers on those. And so it's been an encouraging time, but it hasn't always been that way. Much of the time, it seems like I've kind of been slogging through prayers, maybe an expression. Well, last week at the pastor's conference, I listened to teaching on prayer for 3 days. And you may think, wow, that seems like a lot. We got to put up with it for one sermon here this morning, but 3 whole days of teaching on prayer. What could possibly be said about prayer in 3 days? And I'd have to say that I wasn't even tempted to go to the beach. It was in Florida, but I wasn't even tempted to skip a session because I was so intrigued with what prayer is about and what God was teaching me through the speaker there. And so it was a very encouraging time for me, a very exciting time for me to think about prayer and to commit myself once again to being a man of prayer and also being a leader in prayer, leading our church in prayer. And so that became a renewed commitment to me during that time. Now, I recognize that this is a significant challenge. You know, I came back from Florida to Ohio, and that was enough right there, from the sun to the snow and the rain, and then all of the things that I had put off for 1 week that needed to be done, and that, guess what? They were all waiting for me back here when I got back. And so very quickly, as I dove into my responsibilities, all that I had to do, this feeling started to evaporate. And it was almost like 2 days, and the euphoria of the pastor's conference was almost completely gone. I'm like, what happened? Where did it go? But that's our experience. God speaks to us, and then we go through periods of trial and testing to see whether we're going to stick with that, what he told us, and stay on track. And so I'm committed. I want to stay on track and with what he's talked to me and spoke to me about prayer. But I recognize it's a significant challenge. And so I don't stand up here saying, well, I've got this all figured out, it's a piece of cake, and here's 5 steps that you can do, and your prayer life will be awesome from here on, and you will never have any more trouble with it. I don't have that to offer here this morning. It's a struggle. And the only thing I know is that we face an enemy who desires to see prayerless believers. I believe that. We have an enemy who desires for us to be prayerless, to not spend time in prayer. And so we continue to fight this enemy and to turn really our selfish desires, to fight against those selfish desires so that we can be a people of prayer. And so this morning I want to invite you to join me in that fight, to continue the fight. And I think it'd be appropriate just if we would take a moment right now and just ask the Lord to speak to us this morning to help us in that battle. Let's pray together. Lord, we recognize that we are in a battle. And Father, we know that part of that battle that falls by the wayside is sometimes our deep, intimate relationship with you in the time of prayer. And so this morning, I ask that you would speak to our hearts. I don't know where each of us are at, but you do. I don't have the power to change hearts, but you can. You can change my heart. You can change all of our hearts. And I don't have any great wisdom this morning, but you have phenomenal wisdom. And so I ask that you would be the one who speaks to us today, wherever we're at, and that we might come away with a new commitment to seek you in a regular way. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, the question, why do we pray? Well, in order to help us answer that question, I'd like to look at the life of Jesus and ask really the same question, why did he pray? On the surface, it seems like he, of all people, wouldn't need to pray, right? I mean, here we have God in the flesh. Why did he pray? But I find this verse in Luke chapter 5 very intriguing. When we look at the prayer life of Jesus, it says, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. A very short verse, just kind of lumped in with some other things. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. So why would the Son of God need to pray? Now, I've heard that maybe it's just to set an example for us so that we would follow that example. But I don't believe that. I think it's more than that. Some would even use this fact to claim that Jesus was not really equal with God. Indeed, there are some mysteries, a lot of mystery in the incarnation, God becoming flesh, fully God, yet fully man. And these can be deep and difficult for us to sort out. And I read different theologians who talked about this relationship and how it works. And so after a time, I decided I would turn to somebody that I could trust, and I asked my 13-year-old daughter the question, why did Jesus pray? And I liked her answer. She was pretty quick. She said, well, he's talking to his father, of course. They have a close, intimate relationship. Why wouldn't he pray? And I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. He has an intimate relationship with his father, and so he spends his time talking with his father in prayer. They have a close, intimate relationship. And I think she's much closer probably than some of these scholarly discussions that I was reading. It's silly really even to think to ask that question when you consider how deep this relationship is between God the Father and God the Son. If you think about how deep that relationship is, why would we even question whether Jesus would pray or not? Well, this past year I made a discovery in my household that someone was making phone calls. I don't know if I shared this story or not, but before. But someone was making phone calls in the wee hours of the morning, like 3 o'clock, 2 o'clock, and not just one phone call. Like every day there was phone calls happening. And they were like for long periods of time. Some of them were like 4 hours in length. I'm like, what is going on here? I'm not making any calls, at least unless I'm sleepwalking or something, as far as I know. And so for about a day there, I was puzzling over this, trying to figure out, and I didn't want to ask my kids yet because I wanted to catch them. and so I was playing some detective work for a while, and so there was two numbers I couldn't figure out. I didn't recognize either of the numbers, but here it was, day after day, consistent calling on these numbers. And I have Vonage, so I can do like a search real easily, and I did a search on these numbers, like one number since the beginning of the year. It was August, I think, of last year I was looking at this. It's 500 calls since the beginning. I'm like, what is that? The other number, like over 500 calls, both of them, 1,000 calls. I'm like, what is going on? And so anyways, I came to find out that my children were making some phone calls late at night behind my back. And so I talked to them, confronted them about it. I won't tell you all the detective work I did. And, of course, initially in the conversation, they said, oh, well, you know, we're just calling a friend. You know, nothing unusual, just a friend. I'm like, 500 phone calls since the beginning of the year. You think that's normal for just a friend relationship? Like, I don't think so. I don't call my friends that much. So anyways, they quickly kind of backed away from that claim, and it became evident that they had some pretty close friends that they were keeping, and two of them were keeping in contact with. They were kind of working together on this. And so it was a deeper relationship. And it was very evident to me because of the amount of time that was being spent in communication. And so we made a few changes to kind of correct that amount of communication, and I think they're glad that we did that, actually, and stepped in and helped them kind of see that need. So anyways, my point is that it's normal, it's natural for us to communicate with people that we have an intimate relationship, a close relationship with. That is a normal thing, to have close contact, to relate to them in a close way, to talk with them often. That's a normal thing when we have a close relationship with someone. And so it's normal to think of Jesus having this kind of relationship with his Father. He talked with him a lot. I want you to think about your deepest friendships, who that person is. Maybe it's a spouse, a child, maybe a friend from childhood. I don't know who they are. But think about them, the people that you care about the most. And I want you to think about how much time you communicate with that person. Face-to-face, texting, Facebook, phone calls, Twitter, email, whatever the mode of communication is that you use. How much time do you spend communicating with them, talking with them? It's a normal thing when you have a deep relationship with somebody. So, I think this is a good reason that my daughter brought out to pray. If you're thinking about why it is that you pray, a good reason to pray is to either pursue a deep relationship with God, or it is because you have a deep relationship with God. It's very simple. And maybe that's too simple for us to even think about this morning, but that's a crucial part of why we pray. It's all about this relationship, this deep, intimate relationship with God. It's the reason why we are compelled to go to Him, to talk with Him, to hear from Him, to pursue that. And so this is one relationship that I would encourage and I would recommend. Thousands of phone calls at all hours of the night would be appropriate. It's what we see Jesus doing here. We see Him at all hours of the night talking to His Father. He had this deep relationship. So make use of that unlimited texting plan that you have with your Heavenly Father. Well, Jesus faced all of the same kinds of challenges that we face, I believe, in finding time to pray. If we look at His life, if we look at the time that He spent with people, we see very quickly that the demands on His time skyrocketed as His ministry began. Crowds began to follow Him wherever He went. It seemed like He couldn't hardly have any time to Himself. And so Jesus had to get creative of when He could take this time. Early mornings, late evenings, and these crowds were quite demanding. And we see early in His ministry, in Mark chapter 1, we find Jesus healing people, driving out demons late into the evening. And this happens to be in Capernaum. It says the whole town gathered at His door that evening. So this is the kind of life that Jesus was living. People everywhere, they were always wanting something from Him, wanting to see Him, wanting to listen to His teaching, asking to be healed or demons to be driven out. He was in very high demand. And so the question, of course, would come up, how did Jesus find time to pray? I want to read a passage here from Mark chapter 1, verse 35 and 36. It says, very, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where He prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for Him. And when they found Him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for You." Now, do you get the picture of what is happening here? Jesus, He had a late night the night before, healing people. They were all at His door. Finally, I don't know what time they went to bed. But He got up very early in the morning. And why did He do that? It says, while it was still dark, He left the house, He went off to some place where nobody could find Him. And there He prayed. Meanwhile, the disciples get up. I believe the sun probably starting to come up. The disciples get up, they look around. There's probably a lot of people already there at the house waiting for Jesus. And where is He? Have you ever been in that situation where maybe a program's starting or something and you're looking around saying, where's the speaker? You know, maybe he's late. Maybe he's got tied up with something else. But you've been in that situation probably where you say, where is the guy? Where is he supposed to be here? We need him. We need him to do things. And I think that was the people's attitude. That was the disciples' attitude. He has things to do today. Doesn't he know that? He just took off somewhere, didn't tell any of us where he was going. But Jesus knew that he needed to do that. He needed to get away. He took a break from ministry and step back so that he could spend some time with his heavenly Father. Think about that for a while, what that looked like. Jesus himself stopped healing people. He stopped teaching, stopped casting out demons for a period of time, and he went away and prayed. Does that give you an idea of the kind of priority that Jesus placed on that time of prayer, that time of communication with his Father? And the passage in Luke that I read earlier talks about this particular time as well, and it says that he often did this. Not just one time, but he often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. In spite of his exhausting schedule, he makes a priority to get away and be with his Father. I don't know if he was a morning person or not. What do you think? Do you think he was a morning person or an evening person? You know, I mean, sometimes we say, oh, I can't get up in the morning. That's just not me. And it isn't me, really. I don't really like getting up in the morning that much. And I don't know if Jesus really did either. In fact, I had to think that he was pretty tired. But he made it a priority to get up early in the morning and pray, to find some time where he could spend with his Heavenly Father. And the disciples don't appear to understand its importance. They're looking for him, and they appear somewhat exasperated when they finally find him. And they say, don't you know everyone is looking for you? In other words, don't you know there's work to be done? We got people to heal, demons to cast out. Don't you know these people need you? Do you understand that? Why are you wasting your time? Maybe they didn't mean that, but I don't know. It's a possibility. And Marcus, you can put that next. I thought of this other cartoon Kevin found, I think fits this pretty well. But isn't that kind of how we think about prayer sometimes? You know, well, oh, he's not busy, he's just praying. And sometimes we say that even when we're talking about some venture that we're going to do. Well, you know, you could do this, you could contribute money to it, you could volunteer. And, of course, you could pray, too. Like, it's just kind of a second, like, you know, yeah, it's something you could do. Not necessarily the top priority. Thanks, Marcus. But Jesus knew differently. He knew that maintaining this relationship with his Father was crucial to his ministry. So crucial that he set the work of the ministry aside often for the priority of prayer. In Mark chapter 6, after he fed the 5,000, Jesus dismisses the whole crowd. He sends his disciples across the lake by themselves in the boat. Interesting. And what does he do? He goes up on the mountain by himself to pray. Leaves his disciples straining against the wind while it appears he spends hours in prayer. Now, we're not told what he prays about or even exactly why, but we see him making it a significant priority. The second point I want to make about why we pray is that we pray to seek the will of the Father. And we see this in Jesus' life. He prayed because he had an intimate relationship with his Father, but he also prayed to seek the will of the Father. All throughout the Gospels, we see Jesus being ultimately concerned with doing the will of his Father. That he would be about his Father's business. In Jesus' teaching on prayer, in Matthew 6, he says, you're familiar with this prayer, we call it the Lord's Prayer. He says, your kingdom come, your will be done. Now, I think this is an area that we often get twisted, which is why I wanted us to ask this question, why do we pray? Now, sometimes I don't think we're praying necessarily with the concern about God's will being done. But more concerned maybe about our will being done instead of understanding what is God's will in this particular situation that I'm praying about. If we're honest, it's often not about God, but about us. It's about me coming to God, maybe with my list of things, and expecting to maybe manipulate him or move him in a particular direction that maybe he didn't know he should be going. Now think about that. How dumb is that to think, well, God doesn't know which way he should go, so I need to clue him in on that. No, that's not what prayer is about. Prayer is about coming to God and seeking his will for a situation and praying in his will. Often when I'm praying, I'm asking for good things. At least it seems to me and even to others. But it's all about what I want to see happen, what I want to accomplish. It's about my will, not his, it seems like. And we don't see Jesus doing this in his prayers. In fact, his relationship is so close with the Father that he says in John, I can only do what I see the Father doing. And I wonder, is this our approach to our relationship with the Father? Do we know him well enough that we want to be doing and we can see what he's doing and that's what we want to do? We want to join him in that. I was browsing a website this past week and I came across this statement. It says, if you aren't getting the results you've hoped for, then maybe it's time to consider a change in the way you pray. Joanne changed her prayer life and the results were dramatic. Read her latest article. Now I looked at that and wondered, is that the way I approach prayer? That I'm really concerned mainly about these results that I think need to happen, whether it's in my life or my family or my friends. Do I look at it that way? All about results. Can it really be reduced to this? I found myself looking down lower below this little snippet looking for the three installments of 1995 that you're supposed to send in. But it wasn't there. But sadly, I think this is often the way we look at prayer. And I've been guilty of it. And we don't see this in Jesus' life. His desire was to do the will of the Father. And we see even as he prayed in the garden and asked for the cup to be taken from him, surely if there would be some other way than what God had asked him to do. But what does he say in closing that? Not my will, but yours be done. So, why do we pray? Well, we pray to align our will with the Father's will. The more we seek his face, the better we understand his will. The better we understand his will, the better we ask in accordance with his will. And the better we ask in accordance with his will, the more effective and powerful our prayers become. And I think it's a very important sequence to look at when we pray. The night before Jesus chose the 12 disciples, we see him praying for an entire night. All night long he prayed before he chose these 12. And once again, it isn't recorded what Jesus prayed. But it seems quite clear that Jesus was seeking his Father's direction before making this significant decision. It appears to me that he spent the entire night praying about that. And I know that some of you are facing some difficult decisions, maybe which way to go in a career or college, what to do after high school, maybe in a relationship that you're not sure which way to go. And I wonder, do you want to hear from God? How much have you sought God's face for that decision? Are you willing to give him the priority and the time? And if it's a big decision, maybe it's time for a prayer, a night prayer meeting for you. As children of the Heavenly Father, we are not here to claim things for ourselves, to selfishly and foolishly try to dictate what God should do. The reason we pray is, number one, because we either desire a deep, intimate relationship with the Father, or we have a deep, intimate relationship with Him. And number two, that we seek His will for our lives and for the world. The final point that I'd like to make this morning is that God is worthy to be sought. This is why we pray. It is simply because He is worthy. And this was a significant point for me that was made at the pastor's conference, and I hadn't really thought about it very much before that. I've often been discouraged about lackluster prayer, both in my life and in others. And I've had a bad attitude about it sometimes. Been discouraged about it. Why have prayer times when maybe only a few people show up? Why get up early in the morning when I've been up late the night before? Why try and start new times of prayer? Why go to all this trouble? Why not just settle in to what's happening? The lowest common denominator. Well, here's a good reason why not to settle. Because God is worthy to be sought. He alone is worthy. And if we look again at the prayer that Jesus was teaching the disciples, He says, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." No matter what your prayer time looks like, it is always worthwhile because God is always worthy to be prayed to. No matter how it feels, how difficult it seems, it is always worthwhile because God is worthy to be sought. He is worthy. Any attempt to seek the face of God is an overwhelming success because He is worthy to be sought. Well, that's interesting. My conclusion is not correct. All right, well, I'll do my conclusion from my mind. So we'll put these away. The question I have for you this morning is, are you willing to deepen that relationship with God? Are you willing to make a priority in seeking Him? In developing that relationship, that communication that needs to happen. Without that communication, your relationship is going to stagnate. It won't continue forward. It'll just stay at one place. And so are you willing to seek God in prayer and to develop that relationship? Are you willing to seek His will for your life? Instead of maybe bringing your list of things all the time. And yes, God asks us to bring our requests to Him. And I'm not saying that at all. I'm not discouraging that. He asks us, He wants us to bring our requests to Him. But do we do that with an open heart, a listening ear about what God wants to tell us, even about the things that we're asking? I have often found later the things that I was asking for was just not quite right. That God had a better way than what I was asking for. So are we willing to come humbly to God, recognizing that He knows what He's doing, that His plan is the best plan, and ultimately submit ourselves to what His will is? And are we willing to give Him the honor and glory that is due Him? To come to prayer just because He is worthy to be sought. Let's pray together. Father, I thank You for how You've been speaking to me about prayer. I thank You for Your patience in the relationship that I have with You. And Lord, I ask that You would stir our hearts this morning to draw near to You. Help us to be honest with ourselves when we ask the question, why do we pray? To sort through our motivations and to push aside the ones that aren't really that good. And to come to you with an open heart, a willing heart, to seek you, to be changed by you, to see you do great things in our lives and in the world. So we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.